pray that the Lord would help us and bless us as we turn together to his holy and precious word of truth for our instruction this morning. The word that's upon my spirit you'll find in the chapter that we read in Isaiah, chapter 40, and verses 30 and part of verse 31. I'll read the two verses. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. What we have before each one of us here this morning is this precious Bible which tells us the truth. It is God's precious word of truth spoken in love to each and every one of us. A message from God to you and I personally. And it tells us the truth about the future. Here it says, even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. The teenagers are going to be faint and weary. The young men, young women, the sort of 20-somethings, 30-somethings, shall utterly fall. Here is, a word which is true. And I always say, if you want to see what, if you want to know what to find out in the world, read the Bible and you'll see that the world is totally reflecting on what, or reflects what the Bible says about it. If you look out in the big wide world out there, you will see that there is youths, young men, young women, fainting and being weary out there in today's world. Whether it's now or in the future, for each one of us, the strongest one day become weary and weak. My mum's been blessed with a lot of health and strength for quite a long time. She's now 92, but this week she had a fall and was unable to keep her balance for just a moment and bumped her head. And you see, these are things that happen. Someone that's been relatively strong and fit for a very long time, really, and yet they fall and they become weary. This is the world that you see all around you. There's been people here in this chapel, perhaps years gone by, and you've seen them fall. You've seen them become very old and seen them finally pass away. It's the truth that we see all around us. And it's not just the youths, it's even babies. So hearing a little story the other day about a little baby who had to be born and rushed straight to hospital for or to a special hospital to have some operations done. These things happen. Toddlers get illnesses. This is not just about old people. It's just as relevant to young people, children that are here. We can become faint and we can become weary. It's not just the youth. It's not just the old young men, middle-aged, older ones, women as well, or the very aged. This thing is relevant to us all. It says here, even the youth shall faint. That means it's going to happen in the future. May not happen right away. Some of you might think, well, I've got loads of strength. Well, I'm very thankful to hear that. But the youths shall faint, and the young men and the young women, we might say, shall utterly fall. I was talking to people that are kind of my age at the moment, and there's four people that I've spoken to in the last couple of weeks, and they were telling me how they're burnt out and they haven't got any strength left. Some of them have had to spend ages in bed because they just haven't got any strength left. They're not old, but they're weary. We call it burnout, I suppose. They were fit, they were capable, but they're burnt out. They're wearied. It's been Mental Health Week, Awareness Week, I believe, this week. And, you know, there's a lot of children that are stressed out and anxious, worried about what's going on all around them. We get strong soldiers and other people that end up with PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorders, and various things like that. This is a world where there are issues all around. And we had a session with, I have to go to continuing professional development from time to time. And this week we had some of that. And this psychologist came along and was telling us all about how to look after ourselves, which is what that people do these days. You know, you've got to look after your mental health. Maybe it was because it was Mental Health Week, I don't know. But, and she was telling us, you see, as professionals like we are, you know, there's all sorts of issues. You're supporting everybody else, but who's supporting you? These things come, we end up being burnt out because there's no one to support us, you might say. You're juggling all the balls, but who's actually helping you? A friend of mine that I work with, and his mother passed away a few weeks ago. He's having terrible trouble at work. He just can't seem to get the work done. And then he's having to go to hospital because he's got health problems and being under investigations for cancers. And this is the kind of thing this psychologist was saying. Things happen wave upon wave upon wave. It's a hymn about it, isn't it? O Zion, afflicted with wave upon wave, who no man can help in those circumstances. This is the world that we are living in. It says, and it's exactly the world that's described here. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. And then we're kind of told to tell everyone we're okay. Someone asks you, are you all right? You say, yes, I'm all right. That's the normal answer. They're not. If they started telling you everything about what's going on in their life, you'd say, well, I've got to get on, really. Or you'd think that. And so we're conditioned just to say, well, yeah, I'm all right. I'm getting on okay. Just like a pharaoh. With the one plague, two plagues, three plagues, one after the other. You'd have thought he'd eventually say, well, I'm not all right. But it always says no. He's hardened his heart. He would not yield. He would not agree to Moses' requests. He just kept on believing that he was still in control. He had his heart hardened. He kept on thinking it's going to be all right. He kept on thinking, I'm not going to be broken, but even the youths shall faint and be weary. The young men shall utterly fall. And then in work, we often have to think that we're there to serve, aren't we? We're there to help in every circumstance. But, you know, we like to help in every circumstance, but it's that... If we do too much, we get broken ourselves. It was the emotional paradox that this lady was talking about. Giving everything to everybody else, but in the end, we get broken ourselves. Because we try to take on the impossible. We may think we're youths, and we may think we're young men or young women, and may think we've got everything at our fingertips, but... We can be broken. We can be overcome by too many burdens, too many difficulties. On the other hand, we have to do something. And we're told in our work, you've got to really think about what you're doing. You've got to make sure you make the right decisions. But if you wait till you've got all the information, you probably it's too late to make the decision. You have to act. You have to do things. It's another one of those paradoxes. The paradox is the critical paradox, where you have to, you can't have all the information to make a decision, but yet you have to make the decision, because we'll never know all the answers before we have to make a decision. And this leads to all kinds of stresses and all kinds of difficulties all around us. And so often, you see, with all these things going on, and there's no one asking, well, how are you getting on? Are you okay? I think that's why we had this talk the other day. But are you okay? Are we okay? And that's why people get weary. They get falling. They get tired. They get burnt out. They can't carry on. And yes, there are solutions in the world. The world will tell you, well, you've got to eat properly. You've got to exercise properly. You've got to sleep properly. You've got to have your tank full so that you've got something to give to other people. Don't let your tank get empty. Don't go and get burnt out. But how do you do that? How do you do that? The world will tell you, well, you've got to stop and reflect. You've got to think, I mustn't. I've got to consider what I'm doing. Think about it. Ask myself, am I up to this? Talk to myself and say, yes, I'm going to be able to be okay with this. And that's what the world will tell you to do. The world will also tell you to distance yourself from things. Don't take too much on, because otherwise it will overwhelm you. Make sure that you see that not everybody's problems become your problems, but try to help people to think they've got their own problems, that they can find a way of helping them through those problems. That's what the world will tell you to do, to protect yourself. But is that true? It might help a little bit, but this word, verse 30, is still absolutely true. Even the youths, even the people with their tank right full up, can eventually faint and be weary. And even the people that think they've got all the resources about them, the Bible tells them, shall utterly fall. You see, doesn't matter whether we get everything, all our ducks in a line. It doesn't mean to say that we're going to, well, we're not going to avoid the weariness and the fainting and the falling of the future. And even if we had all our tank open, full, then that would be great. But so many of us, we know, I know, we struggle through life. There are struggles through our lives. We are fainting. We are weary. We are likely to trip over and fall. That's where we are today in the world in which we are living, perhaps. You see that if that's where you are, you're already weary. It's no good some psychologist telling you, well, you need your tank full. Well, I haven't got it full. I am where I am. This is the situation that I'm in at this moment in time. And so, is the world's solution honest? Is it honest? Is it true? Does it really work? Well, that's where we come to God's precious word. God's precious word says something different. It says, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but there's something different to be said. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. The word of God is a loving message which is written to people that are weary, that are fainting, that are falling or liable to fall. And this is why the word of God is so precious and so loving and so kind, is because it's written to all of us. It doesn't matter whether you're a baby, a toddler, a child, a youth, a young man, middle-aged, old, woman, whatever, male, female, aged, all the circumstances. We're all susceptible to these things. And this is why God has written in love and kindness and mercy his precious word to each one of us. And it's written to every single one of us here in this chapel, whether you hear it or whether you ignore it. That's the wonderful thing about God's word. It's still written to you. You may be ignoring it, but it's still written. It's still there. It's still for you. And there's still this message that hear the word of the Lord. Listen to what our God, our Creator, has said to us. Because the strongest of all one day will faint. I have got to die. One day my breath will stop. One day my heart rate will stop. I will pass away. My body will be left in a cold state somewhere. My soul, by God's grace, in glory with the Lord. We trust in him for these things. This is the reality. My body will faint. Your body will faint. My body will utterly fall. Your body will utterly fall one day. And it's not that it's not an unkind message. It's not a nice message. But it's a true message. And it's a true message that is spoken with intent. It's with an intent that you may listen to the next verse. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And these people will mount up with wings as eagles, and shall run and not be weary, and shall walk and not faint. So there's an alternative. And it says here, what's the alternative? What is this alternative from all that we've heard about? What is the alternative to wait upon the Lord? And that's why I read Psalm 123, because there it tells us what waiting upon the Lord looks like in a way. It looks like here you are as a servant. That means you have a master. That means it could be your boss. I know servant sounds like old-fashioned. A servant is an employee, someone that's paid to do a job for somebody else. As the employee looks to the boss to know what they need to do next, and as the maiden, that's a female employee, looks to the hand of her mistress, her boss, so the eyes wait upon the Lord, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that he have mercy upon us. We're looking up. We're looking for guidance. We're looking for direction. We're looking for mercy. That means that we won't be punished like we deserve to be punished, but we will be blessed instead. We are to wait upon the Lord. Capitals, when it says L-O-R-D, all in capitals, that means we are waiting upon the Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we are to wait upon the Lord. We are to look up to him for everything. He is the one that we work for, if you like, we serve. He is the one that, just like a boss pays his worker, so the Lord Jesus provides in mercy and in grace and in kindness. He opens his hand and supplies the needs of every living thing. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. So you, each one of us, from the youngest to the oldest, we have a day ahead of us. All of us have a day ahead. A week ahead. We've got a future. And there's a future which actually, in truth, is impossible, because I can't keep myself alive for a single day. I cannot guarantee my life for another day. So there's an impossibility in front of me. And I don't know whether you're like it, but in my workplace, I often come across impossibilities. Things that I don't know the answer to properly, and yet somehow we've got to make some decisions and do something. There's impossibilities, you see. Well, the psychologist said we needed to stop. And that is exactly what we do, isn't it? As the people that wait upon the Lord, at the beginning of an impossible day, what do? We lift our eyes up to the Lord Jesus Christ, our heavenly shepherd. And what do? We tell the Lord Jesus that he is great. What do? We tell the Lord Jesus that we are small, that we have a situation in front of us that we cannot cope with, that is beyond us. But we take our situations that are beyond us and impossible for us, and we take them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And what do with them there? We tell the Lord Jesus Christ that there are impossibilities that he can deal with. He can help us through. You see, being a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and his ability is being an unbeliever in myself and my ability. To be an unbeliever that I can solve today's problems is a very important thing. To be a believer that the Lord Jesus Christ is able to solve my problems is a very good thing. The one that has created me, the one that has sustained me through my life and you. We won't always be strong, but we have a Jesus to go to who always is strong. And the Lord is able to renew us, it says here. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. It may look like for the future, for the day ahead of you, you've got no energy, but the Lord God is able to help you. And it's not just in time either, because just imagine those that are very weak, perhaps those with cancers, those facing death, those facing old age and death and weaknesses and frailties. There's going to be a time when I'm going to be weary and fall to the point that I die. But the people that wait upon the Lord, waiting upon the Lord in death, is the truth will be that the Lord will renew their strength and raise us up. Not, we'd like to think, we're going to have some miraculous recovery and we'll be better again. But that isn't always the case. It doesn't mean that in every circumstance, although sometimes that does happen. But what it means here is our strength will be renewed. We'll have a new lease of life. We'll be raised up from the grave. We'll be taken from this world into glory. How important then it is when you've got a busy day ahead to take some time to wait upon the Lord, to tell him your need of him, and that he is the only one that's able to help you through the day, whether we live, whether we die, or whatever. And then, with all the stresses and strains of life around us, the psychologist lady didn't say this, but really what a blessing I was thinking. What a blessing it is that you and I have got a Sunday. It's a week ahead. It might be a really busy week that you've got ahead. But what a blessing that we're here in this house of prayer. And collectively we are going to worship God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the God that has given us everything that we have, the God that has created the heaven and the earth. And we are worshipping him that has the atoms of the universe at his fingertips. He knows the names of every single one of them. He knows exactly what they have done from the beginning of time. He knows exactly what they will do till the end of time. And I don't know, that's a number with 100, probably 100 noughts on the end at least. and he knows what's going on in every single one of them. And we can worship this God that has created you and me and given us our lives. And he's given us a day that's set apart. We can stop before the beginning of another week and we can take some time to worship. We've got some time set apart. The world will tell you, you've got to work, 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 work. If you're not working at work, you've got to do your garden, you've got to do your house up, you've got to do this, you've got to do that, you've got to do the other. But our Jesus says, no, take a day set apart. You may have an in-tray up to here with all that you need to do, but you can ignore that. That's another day's problems. Today is the day when you can come and clear your mind and come and spend time thanking God for the past, pleading with God for the future, worshipping him, fellowshipping with the brethren and the brothers and sisters in Christ, teaching the children the importance of the word of God. And this is our God that has created us. He knows we need a day off in seven. It was done and created into us, stamped into us at creation, that we should have that one day in seven. And if you look at the world around us, where does it get burnt out so often? Because people never stop. They're driven, driven, driven. What a privilege that our God is able to give us that day off. And on today, we're doing no earning work, maybe. But we trust that our God will supply our every need. We believe, as Christians, we believe that the whole of heaven will be provided for us. We're not going to take a pension to heaven. We're not going to take savings to heaven. We're going to take nothing. But all of it will be provided. And if we believe that the whole of eternity is going to be provided, what a wonderful thing it is to say, today, on the Lord's Day, today set apart, and our God will supply our every need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. We talk about there's no one that can give us what we need as we go through life. You know this talk, well, there's no, you are helping everybody else with your job, but who's helping you? Well, what a wonderful blessing, you see. We have one that is able to help us. We can go to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is able to help us through our lives. He's a friend to us. You can go to the Lord Jesus Christ with your trouble, with your needs and your problems. It's not that you got no one that can help you. It's not that he's not just wanting you to say, yes, I'm all right, thank you. And he's got all the time in the world to listen to you pour out your concerns before him. You can tell him your troubles, you can tell him your worries, tell him your needs. You can lay it all before him and unburden yourself before the Lord Jesus Christ. And he listens to it all. I don't know whether you've ever noticed that it doesn't matter whether there's a billion people talking to the Lord Jesus in prayer all at the same time. You know, the Lord Jesus, because he's God, he's able to listen to every single one of them, give them 100% attention. He never slumbers, he never sleeps, he never gets bored, if you like, with what we say. He's always attentive to listen to the cares and concerns and needs that you have this morning, you have throughout your life before him. There's not a friend like that. We can tell him all of our woes and all of our difficulties and all of our worries. He never fails. He can give us all the help we need. The world will tell you, the government can do their bit, friends can do their bit, your family can do their bit, but there's no one that can do everything that you need for you. And that is such a sad statement, because we all need someone lovingly to tenderly care for us forever, through life, through death, through eternity. I was talking to a lady a few months ago. We knew that she was very poorly. We knew that we perhaps would never see her again. And this week she passed away. But on that last meeting, as we said goodbye, I looked her in the eye and I said, I pray that you may know that you are safe in the tender loving care of the Lord Jesus Christ. Safe in the arms of the Lord Jesus. And the tears welled up in her eyes. And she said, I hope so. I pray so. And actually, subsequently, she's been able to witness that her sins, that are many, for like all of our sins are many, are forgiven. And that's a wonderful thing, you see. Here's one that is able to take us up in his arms. That's what you and I need. Someone to care for us. A care package that does everything for us. And yet the world cannot provide it. There are false care packages of the world. The NHS, wonderful as it is, it can't do everything. Sometimes it says, well, I'm sorry, we can't do anything more. The welfare state says, well, we'll try and support you, give you all the money you need. Well, they don't always give you everything you need. Or there's a great big queue, or it's difficult to get access to it. But our God is able to supply our every need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Well, at work, sometimes you might think there's lots of people offloading their trouble on you. They're unburdening themselves on you, and you're left holding their worries. What do we do with them? We're able to take, you see. There's that Psalm 55 tells us a little verse. Verse 22. Cast thy burdens, cast your burdens upon the Lord. We've all got burdens to carry. And if you carry all your burdens yourself, you'll find that you'll be weary, you'll be fainting, and if you're not careful, you'll be falling. Because please don't think you're invincible. Please don't think you can't be broken. Please don't think that you can be you can't be overloaded. Even the camel's back can be broken by a straw. The last straw, as people say, if you know what the expression is, eventually the camel can't take any more weight, and so the camel goes down. Well, it's exactly the same with us. But where do we take? Where does the world take their problems to? They try to carry it all themselves. But cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. You see, a burden taken to the Lord is the Lord will then show us perhaps how to carry that burden or to help in some way. I often think, you know, there's a lot of people in the world, but they're all under God's direction. And God is able to use people. It may not be God's people, but he's able to use people to help us and sustain us and help us to get through life. Going into a hospital, a lady that's a friend of mine went to hospital, and she was in terrible distress with her breathing one particular Sunday morning, and went to the hospital. They didn't really know where they were going. They were in a foreign country, and they just turned up at the first door of the hospital, go inside, and they're praying about, they're waiting upon the Lord. Those that wait upon the Lord, we're waiting upon the Lord, going into this hospital, I need some help. And it was, I don't know whether these people were Christians that were all working there. I'm not in a position to judge on any of that. What I'm saying is, there was a whole team of people to receive. There wasn't anyone there. They'd gone in the wrong entrance. But when they got to the desk there and said that they'd got problems with their breathing and problems with their heart, the lady there said, you've come to exactly the right place because this is the heart department. But how did you get here? Well, we just came to this door and we went in. And you see, when God's people have need, God's goodness will find out a way. Cast your burden upon the Lord. Take your worries, take your concerns, take the things that burden you and weigh you down. Take them to the Lord. Tell the Lord Jesus all about them. Tell him that you've got a problem that you can't carry. You know, the Lord Jesus is so strong and so loving and so kind. What he wants to hear from you is that there's something that you can't do for yourself. But he then loves to say, but I can do this for you. I can do this for you. I can help. What he doesn't actually like is us saying, well, I can do all this for myself. I can make myself righteous. I can find my own way to heaven. I can earn my own way to heaven. He doesn't like that. The wages of sin, the wages of rejection of God and his help and his care is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. The Lord Jesus is able to sustain. He has at his fingertips the whole world at his fingertips to sustain you, so that he shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And so I was thinking also of the waves upon waves of trouble that come, that it's just one, we could perhaps cope with one problem, but when it's two, three, four, five, and just keeps on coming, the waves keep coming and washing over us. O Zion, afflicted with wave upon wave, whom no man can help us with. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. There was a lot of waves in the big storm that Paul was in Acts chapter 27. There was a Euroclydon, which is a kind of Mediterranean hurricane, I suppose, that they were in this storm. And the waves kept on coming. It was 14 days they hadn't seen the sun, the moon, or any stars. It's just an ongoing, the shrieking of the storm, the wind in the sails of the ship, or the rigging of the ship. You'd think that that was enough to swamp anyone, to faint, to be weary. They literally were thinking there was no hope of being saved. It says here, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But what happens then? We see that someone that was strengthened by the power of God stands up, whose strength had been renewed by the Lord. Someone who had been waiting upon the Lord, and his name is Paul. And he says that he had been waiting on the Lord, and then there stood by me this night the angel of the Lord, whose I am and whom I serve. That means who I am, whose I am, I belong to this God, and I serve this God, I wait upon this God. And he says, he stood by me and said, fear not, Paul. You're going to get to Rome, you're safely, and all these other people are going to get there too. There may be a storm, waves that you think will defeat you, but the Lord Jesus is able to help. The world is full of tribulation, but Jesus says, fear, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. We can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth us. That's where the renewal comes from, the Lord Jesus Christ. He gives us all that we have need of. And then, like the lady said, the psychologist, well, you need to eat well, you need to sleep well, and so on. Well, what a wonderful thing every day before we eat, to ask the Lord Jesus, thank him for what he's given, ask him to bless it to us. As we go on our exercise, thank him for the beautiful world that we can walk in or do whatever we're doing in. Thank him, it's his world, and to give us the strength to enjoy these things. And then to wait upon the Lord at the end of a busy day. At a busy day, you look back and you think, well, I could see impossibilities in front of me, but somehow I've got through. At the end of a busy day, wait on the Lord. Don't tell him I got through by my strength. Lord, I thank thee for helping me through another day. I couldn't have done it by myself, but somehow or other the journeys have been done. Somehow or other the things that were troubling me, I've got through them. Somehow we've got through to the end of another day to come with thankfulness, to wait upon the Lord and thank him for his goodness and his kindness. Thank him. We made mistakes. We probably sinned and failed and said the wrong thing, thought the wrong thing, perhaps done the wrong thing. But we can go back to that Lord Jesus. We may be fainting because we think I am on the road to hell because of the sins that I've committed. Yes, we are by nature. Confess your faults unto him. Confess your sins unto him, and he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, what a blessing that is, that there's a time to reflect at the end of a day, to thank God for his goodness. That's waiting. That's what waiting upon the Lord looks like, you see. And then we come to our sleep. We go to bed. And it's all very well saying, a psychologist saying, well, you need to have good sleep. That's not always so easy. Easier said than done. He giveth his beloved sleep. There is a God that is able to lovingly give us sleep, to take away the cares and say, they're left with me, left with the Lord Jesus. Now is the time for rest. Now is the time for sleep. Now is the time to entrust your life whilst you're laying flat on the bed, completely unaware of everything that's going on all around you, fast asleep, to know that your Heavenly Father never slumbers nor sleeps. He's watching over you and caring for you until the morning light, when he's able to raise you up. And you know, we take these things for granted, but it happens over and over again, thousands of times in our lives. What a wonderful thing to commit the sleep of your life, in, to wait on the Lord in sleep. He knows that we need sleep. It's not a wrong thing to sleep. It's to take that gift from God, thank him for it, use it, entrust your safekeeping of your life while you're laid in a bed to him, for him to raise you up for another day, the next day. And in a way, that's a practice for something bigger. One day, it won't be just us laying down our head in a bed to wake up here on earth. But there will be a day when we will lay down on a bed somewhere or other, or in some circumstance similar, where we will be shutting our eyes, not to wake in this world, but to wake in glory. If we are waiting upon the Lord, we can wait upon the Lord just as with as much confidence as we can wait upon the Lord to go to bed at night and wake up in the morning. We can wait upon the Lord Jesus Christ, that he will take us into his loving, tender care through whatever we go through, as we lose consciousness, as we die out of this world, our soul to be entrusted into his care, into his hands, to lift us into his kingdom, and there to continue to love us and care for us throughout a long eternity. Well, you see, for all of us, the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I've just tried to paint a picture in many ways of waiting upon the Lord. What is a life? What does a life look like that's waiting upon the Lord? Committing your soul, your life, everything into the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ, and knowing that he is able to care for you and I infinitely better than ever we could care for ourselves. That's in a way what it is to be an unbeliever in myself, to be a believer in Jesus Christ, to be no longer trusting in myself, but to be trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, may each one of us, my prayer is for each one here this morning, that all of us may be waiting on the Lord in our lives and receive from him the renewal of their strength. The Lord shall renew their strength. He does the renewing. We do the waiting. We wait upon him. He renews our strength, so that they shall mount up with wings as eagles. Maybe that's the picture of one day leaving this world and our soul being taken out of this world, borne up on eagle's wings into glory, to walk, run and not be weary, and to walk and not faint. Well, may the Lord add his blessing